Before my sermon, I have to reflect that I have preached in some strange places and to some strange congregations in my time. I remember once having to address a group of people with a life-size model of Postman Pat beside me, nodding away. I remember once being in a pulpit about 6 foot high that was slowly coming away from the wall on wheels, and the congregation more interested in that. I now find myself preaching to a scaffolding tower. Some of the congregations I've preached to have had less life than the scaffolding tower, but of course not you. I take as a text the first verse of our second lesson. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. 3 years ago, almost to the day, Sally and I and two granddaughters came away from the Olympic Stadium convinced we had helped to lift Jessica Ennis over the high jump on her third attempt. Admittedly, 80,000 other spectators probably felt the same way, but that support that day was almost tangible. And to some extent, we felt the same thing last week, watching our son-in-law and hundreds of others compete in the Surrey 100-mile cycle race. I also feel the same way watching a bit of England beating the Aussies in the Ashes. The support of the crowd is not only important, it is also very real. You'll not be surprised then to learn that when I was preparing for this sermon and looked at our second lesson, the race that is set before us, with my warped sense of humour, it did occur to me that I might preach a beyond the fringe type sermon, a spoof sermon about athletics. You know, life is not a 100-meter sprint, it's actually a marathon with hurdles. We're all part of a race, the human race, and when the javelin of happiness flies over, duck. But that was before I reflected on my experiences of being in the crowd. For a long time, the phrase, so great a cloud of witnesses, was simply a strong and important reference to all one reads in the letter to the Hebrews in the preceding chapter, where the author reminds the readers of the great Old Testament examples of faith: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel and the prophets, and countless more who all endured much and had their faith severely tested. I had seen the verses saying, given that all these people can do it, so can you. But now I don't think it's quite like that. One of the most important dimensions of Christian worship for me, especially at the Eucharist, has always been that we join in worship with what used to be called the Church Triumphant, Christians of all time and place who worship with us in heaven. And it's not just the comfort of knowing that I'm united in worship with loved ones who've died. It's always been the encouragement of knowing that the whole church is much, much bigger than what we experience here on earth. And I now see another strand to the concept of the great cloud of witnesses, and that is of intense encouragement and support. As a crowd, very few of us are usually in the league of those we're watching competing. We couldn't in any way claim to have run the race and succeeded. Many of us are completely unsporty. But we are fellow human beings, and we want the people we support to do their best, and we want to help, we want and will them to succeed. And as Christians, I believe we live at a time when we need a lot of encouragement. And that's both on the personal level and as a church, whether it be those points in life where our faith is really challenged or sapped or damaged by personal crisis or by bereavement or relationship failure or terminal disease or sheer uncertainty, whether it be that the whole concept of faith is either unfamiliar or seriously questioned, or whether it be the picture painted by the media of a church in terminal decline, being deserted in droves by those who used to attend it, or the intensely depressing picture we paint of ourselves as at best divided over issues of human sexuality and the place of women and at worst as homophobic and somewhat misogynist, rather than the agents of God's all-inclusive love. All this conspires to make it a particularly difficult time for those of us who are committed to sharing to that all-inclusive love. So we do well to recall the encouragement that comes from the great cloud of witnesses. And the witnesses are not just those who worship with us in heaven, who are countless, but those who worship with us on earth as well. Statistics can be utterly misused, but it is worth recalling that worldwide there are estimated to be 2.1 billion Christians, with 100 million in China. In our own country, the Church of England still has the largest following of any denomination or faith, with 4 in 10 people claiming some sort of allegiance and 6 in 10 calling themselves Christian. On average, 1 million people attend Church of England churches on a Sunday, and 1.7 million take part in church services once a month. On average, 500,000 people attend a Church of England baptism, wedding, or funeral each week. I share those figures not to be complacent, far from it, but to help us realize that we're not alone. We're not the lone voice in the wilderness like John the Baptist, for example. Others are traveling the same journey, wrestling with the same issues. Of course, church attendance has declined, but there are actually two stories running in parallel, one of church decline and the other of church growth. Of course, people have been leaving and rejecting the institutional church, but they're still obviously searching and trying to explore their spirituality and what life means. Everything from the birth of a child to the death of a loved one still sparks off profound questions. In Surrey, we live in a profoundly materialistic, secular, and success-driven society and culture, where the pace of life is absurd and sometimes obscene. In my day job as an archdeacon, I relate to many communities, and in most there is still an affection for the church which seems to be at odds with what I've just described. Part of that is due, I'm certain, to places wanting a sense of identity and continuity in a fast-changing world. Part is due to the faithful witness and care of parish clergy and the lay people they work with. But part is certainly to do with what we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, a countercultural concern for the individual, especially the marginalized, a different way of regarding success or status or wealth, a different way of living, and in the end of the day, of course, a person, Jesus Christ, who loved and loved us so much that he became human, experienced what it is to be human, particularly acute rejection, loneliness, barbarity, suffering, and death, and won through. As I often say, he does not provide us with an insurance policy against all that life throws at us, but instead an offer to journey with us through life as we try to offer to others the love he offers to us. When we question the reality of our faith and the reality of what God offers to us in Christ, then the cloud of witnesses who've traveled the journey ahead of us, or those who journey with us now, are crucially important, just as we are to them. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Amen.